Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We're going to have Lee Steinberg on today's show. The noted sports attorney, Lee Steinberg. So he's representing Patrick Mahomes. Now, I don't know if the Cardinals are going to take Patrick Mahomes in the draft, but I do know this, that there's a lot of buzz from fans about, are you going to take a quarterback at some point in time? And so if you're Bruce Arians, is that the guy? Lee was telling me that he just gave, I was talking with Lee before the interview, that they gave Bruce Arians a humanitarian award down at the Super Bowl. So there's a relationship there. And there's Lee's got to have relationships with everybody. And he's representing a quarterback who's a wild card. I saw some of the John Gruden stuff about Mahomes. And while everybody's wanting to talk about Trubisky and Deshaun Watson, Mahomes is that guy that's starting to create a bit of a buzz. And 5 weeks before, you'll say, oh, there's not a chance. And then it is draft day. And he'll be sitting there on the board, and the Cardinals will have to make a decision. So we're going to talk to Lee Steinberg here in about 10 minutes. There's a really interesting story going on, a storyline potentially, I think, involving Earl Watson and the Phoenix Suns. So Jay Williams yesterday on ESPN decided to go out and say some things about Earl Watson and the UCLA job. Those of you that know Earl Watson and what's going on over at the Suns know that Earl, of course, a John Wooden disciple, has followed Wooden's career and the late coach and has been part of UCLA, so on and so forth. So here's ESPN analyst Jay Williams on if Steve Alford leaves UCLA, who would make the most sense to be the new coach there?
Yep, I agree. I think he would go. I don't think there's any way Brad Stevens is leaving Boston to go back to college, but I think Alford would definitely go.
I see Steve Alford going to Indiana, and then I see Mr. Earl Watson, the head coach of the Phoenix Suns, coming back home to UCLA.
Okay, so that was on Mike and Mike on ESPN Radio. So Jay Williams, who's plugged in, and if that's out there, then that's pretty interesting if he's hearing that. Jay's not somebody that throws stuff up against the wall. He doesn't usually do that. But and so there's got to be some buzz that's out there in some way, shape, or form on the underground side with Earl Watson. So let's just go through this for a bit. Let's just say Steve Alford leaves UCLA for Indiana, which at this point he has been, he's been doing the denial, non-denial deal, meaning, well, I'm here to coach my team. I'm looking ahead at the next game, so on and so forth. He hasn't gone down the path of there's no chance that I'm going to leave UCLA. I'm staying here for the rest of my career. He hasn't said any of that. His son Bryce is a senior. Lonzo Ball's only going to be there this year. Then he's got two more Ball brothers with crazy dad, which is fine. That's no reason to run off from a program. But if you're Steve Alford, you're going to be fired a year ago, right? And how often, if the right job comes available, if the job where you grew up and you were under Bobby Knight and you did have it figured out and you were loved and revered and you can make a gob of money going back to Indiana, why wouldn't you jump at Indiana? So, again, to this point, he hasn't said, no, I am not leaving UCLA this year, next year, or any time in my contract. I am going to be the coach of the Bruins. I am not interested in Indiana. He hasn't said that. So that's one. Two, if he does take the job at Indiana, and as long as UCLA is playing, Indiana is not hiring, it just leaves the door wide open. So if the door is wide open for him to go back to Indiana, then UCLA comes open. Here's the question that Suns fans will just get all over me about, which is fine. Which is a better job, the Phoenix Suns or UCLA? Now, on the surface, you would say, well, of course, being in the NBA, you make gobs of money. Yeah, but Earl Watson, to me, is wired a little differently. Can you make gobs of money back in Los Angeles? Is Earl Watson just terrific in his presence recruiting 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds versus going out when it's NBA free agent season and he doesn't have to go into homes and work mom and dad over? No, he's got to go be in front of agents. And who's going to do a better job of recruiting on his behalf, Ryan McDonough or Magic Johnson, who's now running the Lakers? Is there a sense of stability with the Phoenix Suns? Oh, well, they're this close. Yeah, and I've been hearing that for the last several years. Do I think they made progress? Sure. But those of you that just want to say, well, Brad, you're being ridiculous with this argument that a college job is better than an NBA job. It's not meant for everybody to be in the NBA. Was John Calipari a great coach? Was Rick Pitino a great coach? Were they better coaches in college? You tell me. It's not meant for everybody. And when you have UCLA that is sitting there, and you're Earl Watson, what does the dollar figure have to be at for him? And he's not wired in that way. He speaks about wooden principles. So I look at this and say that it makes a lot of sense. So let's just go through the domino effect. Alford goes to Indiana. If they pursued Earl Watson, and if Earl Watson, yeah, there's a lot of ifs. But to this point, with Alford not denying it, and I think Jay Williams is pretty darn credible to go on a national show and throw that scenario out there, then that leaves the Phoenix Suns looking for a coach. And the Phoenix Suns could look right over off of, what is the address? It's like 35th Street and Camelback is Grand Canyon University, right? They could look right over at 35th Avenue and Camelback, and they'd find a coach who is a former Sun, who the PR wore, they'd win the press conference. The coach is gone, and his coach, the coach and the owner could kiss and make up behind the scenes. The owner would come out looking like, okay, I went through my 7 years of not having any idea of what I was doing. You could go right down that path and connect a lot of dots and say that Dan Marley would be somebody that you would talk to. I'm not saying he's the guy. Says Matt said that Marley's the guy. No, I didn't say that. Since Matt said Earl Watson's leaving. I didn't say that. Again, I know you want to hear your own thoughts on this. Understand what I'm saying. If Alford leaves, I would say Jay Williams is a pretty good source. Eric, would you say Jay Williams is a pretty good source on this deal? Is that the way to go? Give me the nod on that. All right. If Earl were to leave the Suns, would there be a lot of upset fans in Phoenix? I don't think there would be. Because first of all, I don't see where the Suns can, they can tell me all they want that there's renewed interest and all that. I don't see it still. Get to a playoff game. That's when you're going to have renewed interest. Don't just be satisfied with a team that comes close. You know, so there's a lot on that story on a lot of levels. I'm going to write about it later today on the show because I just think it's very fascinating from that standpoint. If they had to go look for a coach, who would Ryan McDonough want to have here? The Suns are going to have a high lottery pick again this year. They've had high lottery picks in the past that have produced the likes of Alex Len. I mean, come on. Figure it out. So there's quite a bit around the Suns that's interesting to me today. Tonight is the World Baseball Classic semifinals. You have USA against Japan. I am going to be watching this tonight. I have not watched one pitch of the World Baseball Classic to this point. I'll freely admit it. Pedro's out there. Pedro's loving it. The players all think it's great. Sauer Goldschmidt said this has been such a great experience for me, so on and so forth. It's fine. It's great. Haven't watched a minute of it. It's been opposite March Madness. Sorry. Hasn't caught my eye. We're going to get into Adam Silver a little bit later on, not happy with players being held out of the NBA with games. I've got some thoughts on that. And, of course, U of A and Xavier in San Jose. But up next, we'll have Lee Steinberg, noted sports attorney, representing quarterback Patrick Mahomes, who is going to be sitting there at 13, maybe, for the Cardinals. We'll talk with Lee on that, plus I'm going to get his thoughts on ALS and Dwight Clark. And how would Lee Steinberg advise Lonzo Ball's dad? That's next from one of the best in the business, longtime 40-year sports attorney Lee Steinberg. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Joined now by noted sports attorney Lee Steinberg. Lee, of this year in the draft, representing several players, but in particular, one that many fans have asked me about, and that is Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback out of Texas Tech. Lee joins us from his office, beautiful office over on the West Coast, via Skype. Patrick Mahomes in an Arizona Cardinal uniform, wearing the hat, let's just go with that route, the hat on draft night. What are the probabilities from your view as his representative, Lee?
I really have never seen more teams looking for quarterbacks in the 43 years I've done this than this year. So there are a number of teams up top the draft order that are either looking for a starter, and then as you go through the draft, teams like Arizona who would be looking for the successor to their incumbent player. So it's hard to detect. Anyone would love to go to Arizona. We gave Bruce Arians a philanthropic award at my Super Bowl party. Mm-hmm. Quality organization, great place to live. So you'd love it, but there are 32 teams.
And I'm hearing that he is the most interesting guy in this year's quarterback class of all of them, that it's the Patrick Mahomes factor. The buzz is out there about your client.
Well, what you have is someone who grew up in an athletic family. So his father pitched for 12 years in the major leagues. His godfather, who's very close to him, LaTroy Hawkins, pitched for 20 years. So he comes from athletic antecedents and background. And then you have the strongest arm in the draft. He's got a gun and can throw the ball 70 yards on his knees. He also has the ability to run and the ability to throw on the run. Very bright, hard worker, enthusiastic, with a real passion for the game. So someone's going to end up getting a franchise quarterback over time. Now, there's always an adjustment for any quarterback that plays in a spread system, but there's always an adjustment for any young quarterback anyway to get to the pro level, and it just takes a little bit of patience.
Lee, through the years, as you mentioned, 43 years of representation, would you prefer to see a young man come into a situation where he had a veteran like Carson Palmer in front of him, or is it just case-by-case basis? Look, if he goes to Team X and they don't have a quarterback, we're just fine with him playing immediately.
No, frankly, if I had my druthers, I would rather have him sit for a year and learn any quarterback. I was not unhappy that Paxton Lynch was sitting as a second quarterback last year. And that's because the adjustment to more complex defenses with less degree of separation between the receiver and defensive back, with a whole inability really to see the field clearly until enough time has passed. This comes over time, and we've seen so many quarterbacks stultified and their development retarded by the fact they get pushed in because of the cap. They have to play right away. There's instant judgment. After three or four games, instead of three or four years, they're judged to be a bust. And I'm much more concerned that a Paxton Lynch or a Patrick Mahomes have 10 to 12 or 15 years of quality starting than when that starting role begins.
When people are talking about your client, what separates him from Trubisky and Watson, in your view?
First of all, you've got someone who can make any kind of throw from any kind of position. He's got the Aaron Rodgers type ability to extend the play. So at the end of it, he's not running out of bounds. He's extending the play and completing a pass. And then you have a fiery leader. And so there are a number of excellent quarterbacks in the draft, but Patrick Mahomes is something special. And given enough time for a 3-5-7 step drop and taking the ball under center, he can be a real quality franchise quarterback. So what we're looking for, Brad, in that position is someone that a team can win because of rather than with, who can build around for 10 to 12 years, and who most importantly in adversity, when he's throwing a couple picks, the crowd's booing, people are looking at him on the offensive line like he's on altered substances. What does he do now? Can he adopt a quiet mind? Can he compartmentalize? Can he elevate his level of play to take a team to victory and to and through the playoffs? And I think he's got that potential.
A couple other questions about the Cardinals and Patrick Mahomes. Will you have your client visit Arizona in the next 5 weeks before draft day?
Well, if they invite him, he's certainly coming. And as for personal visits on the campus, we're not specifically identifying who's coming, but he's got 13 teams that want to visit him back at Texas Tech, and you can assume that anyone in the market for a quarterback is probably one of those teams.
And lastly, on the Cardinals, Lee, you've done this a long time. You and I have known each other through the years. We've seen functional and dysfunctional organizations. When I came to Arizona, the Cardinals were dysfunctional in my view. They're now very functional under Michael Bidwell, but more in particular with Steve Keim and Bruce Arians. Just give me a general view through the years. You're the expert at this in dealing with teams on what the view of Arizona is around the league.
So I had players with the old St. Louis Cardinals. They were a very tough team to deal with because, among other things, they felt like they didn't have the economic base to do it. And when they first came, I had Neil Lomax as the quarterback, and they struggled with players leaving. I think with Jake Plummer, they did a turnaround, and if you remember, they beat the – who was also my client, and they beat the Dallas Cowboys. Now they're just seen as one of the quality organizations who's – got a chance to go to the Super Bowl, you know, any given year. A lot of it is Bruce Arians. Michael Bidwell's great, and Kimes the rest of it. But with Bruce Arians, you have a coach that players want to play for. Mm-hmm. And so he's a draw in and of itself. And, of course, there's a reason that millions of people come to Arizona for the weather and the lifestyle. So it's a very desirable franchise at this point. Great stadium, great practice facilities. So you put it in the first tier of winning franchises.
A couple other questions for Lee Steinberg, noted sports attorney, represents Patrick Mahomes this year, among others, in the draft with Brad Sussmat. On a somber, serious note, Dwight Clark and the news of ALS. You've been on the forefront of the concussion side. You've done a lot around that. Your thoughts on this story, one of the legends of the game in ALS?
Well, first of all, I'm close to Dwight, and it makes me very, very sad. On the ALS question, I mean, let's not forget that multiple concussions or subconcussive events that happen thousands of times both lead to a whole myriad of symptoms. ALS is one of them. Alzheimer's is another. Premature senility is another. Chronic traumatic encephalopathy and depression. So this is the existential threat that football faces. And we need to be so aggressive in terms of new helmetry, in terms of enforcing blocking and tackling rules. There are many ways we can make the game safer. And Clark's condition is a clarion call for people to remember that as much as we all love pro football, there are victims that come out the other end, and we need to care for them and prevent it from happening.
One other question for you, and this is off the beaten path, I think, for you. Maybe, maybe not. There's a lot of buzz over here in Arizona, Lee, about the Phoenix Suns having a high draft pick and Lonzo Ball. And you see a father that is out there saying things that, quite frankly, I've dealt with lots of dads that love their kids through the years and have said lots of things. Haven't seen one quite like this. Just curious, does this help an athlete or hurt an athlete from somebody in the business of representation?
So what you really would like is for the relationship to be sound between the player and the franchise. Now, I'm a UCLA fan. Lonzo is gifted. He's got a talent level that's going to make anybody interested. Now, a team, both in football and basketball, will research the family. Mm-hmm. They're looking for any influence that could make the player not be available, not perform, and all the rest of it. And so certainly it will be a factor. But what's more important is to visit with Lonzo and to ask him, you know, whether or not his father speaks for him. And because there's no indication that at UCLA anything that the dad may have said has impacted his ability to practice and play.
No question.
So the point is that you're drafting the person. You have many over aggressive athletic parents, and the only question is, can you live with the interviews as a franchise? Can you live with a little bit of hyperbole?
Sure. Or in his case, a ton of it. Hey, I appreciate your insight and your time as always, Lee. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Anytime.
Thanks again to Lee Steinberg for being with us. Some of that will be on our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. 14 airings tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday as well. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. We taped a segment earlier this morning. David Hines came by. For those of you that check out all the platforms on sports360az.com, I don't do this very often, like plug away on the website, because I know you guys are busy, but I think you'll want to hear the segment. We did about 18 minutes, and we're going to use some on the TV show. I'm not going to put it on the stream show, but the new AIA executive director was in studio. We're talking about football, high school football, and the concussion issue and the enrollment numbers and so on and so forth. We're going to put the full 18-minute interview up. I don't want to edit any of it and just let it go raw and unfiltered, because I think this is a huge move for those of you that are on the high school platform. We get a lot of views on the high school platform. There's people that are interested in that. So we'll give you some of that on the website later today. Let me circle back on Jay Williams. As I'm looking through social here, and there's people that want to talk further about this. And most of you think that I'm lost my mind on this. You know, what are you talking about? Leaving the Suns for UCLA, it's a better job. And you're not dealing with reality. I can see by your profiles, Phoenix Suns fan. I got it. I'm not beating you up. It's just, come on. What have they done in the last 7 years? Well, they have all these great pieces. Yeah, I've heard that, and they're getting closer, but they're still not even a playoff team. They're a lottery team again. So here is Jay Williams, ESPN basketball analyst, Jay Williams. He was on Mike and Mike earlier, and usually when somebody goes on Mike and Mike and throws some stuff out, or any national, I shouldn't say any, most national shows, if an analyst goes on the air and throws something out, they're not just doing it for the sake of doing it, and they're not going to associate Earl Watson. So the path here is, where is Steve Alford going to go and who would replace him at UCLA? This was Jay Williams, ESPN basketball analyst with Mike and Mike.
Yep.
I agree. I think he would go. I don't think there's any way Brad Stevens is leaving Boston to go back to college, but I think Alford would definitely go.
I see Steve Alford going to Indiana, and then I see Mr. Earl Watson, the head coach of the Phoenix Suns, coming back home to UCLA.
Okay. So, again, they're not just going to throw that stuff out. If I were Eric, if we were to go through this, if we're advising Earl Watson.
And I'm just going to push the story ahead a little bit, Brad,
yeah,
because Earl Watson went on Doug and Wolf this morning over on 98.7 FM, and they ask about a potential reuniting between Watson and UCLA. And one of the quotes that really grabbed me was, if that comes into reality, then we can talk about that moving forward. That to me says...
Denial, no denial.
Yeah, but that to me says... Yeah, I'd be interested in that if that happens to come to fruition. It wasn't, nope, I'm happy with the Suns. Nope, I'm staying here. This is my dream job, because, I don't know, he has such a connection to UCLA. Watson says things like, UCLA saved my life. I owe so much to John Wooden. A lot of things that John Wooden preached and practiced, I'm now preaching and practicing as a coach myself. And it just makes too much sense for him not to go if this app happens to come to fruition.
He would be crazy to not go.
I think you're right.
He would be crazy to stay here in Phoenix.
With that job. With that UCLA job.
Yeah, no, not going to Cal.
Right.
Going to Cal, you're going to get fired in 3 years. There's always a job. Let's just say Dan Majerle got approached by Central Michigan. Now, that's Dan Majerle's home. Of course. Or what is it, Central or Western?
Central.
It's Central, yeah. So
a little, but that's a little. I mean, you can't really compare UCLA with a MAC school.
No,
offense to Central Michigan.
I'm not comparing the two. I'm saying that if you go through everybody's, if you got a call today, and you came to me and said TCU called me and they want me to run X, Y, or Z,
right,
in athletics, I would say you have to go.
I'd have to think about it. I'd be crazy not to.
No, that's my point. If I got a call today to go back to San Diego, I've said no a bunch of times. There's no reason to go back there. I'm very happy here. But if something came along that was like, you know what, this would be interesting for me. I'm not going to push my family to the margins. You guys know that. That's why I'm here and not doing this ridiculous local TV stuff. I'm not going to do that. But everybody's got to consider the others. The people that say, oh, I'm just going to go to one job for 30 years, they probably grew up in a household that were told, you're going to go work for one place, that loyalty is great, and you'll stay there forever. And most of those people get their ass shot off at some point in time because companies downsize and change. It's not like it was when their dads and granddads were working. It's just not reality, especially in media or coaching. You know, Brad Stevens decided to make the leap, and it's worked out well for him. And you can't say that everybody needs to be Brad Stevens. Steve Kerr, when he left here, when Rick Welts left here, the best executive in sports in the Valley by far that I've dealt with, outside of Jerry Colangelo, Rick Welts. Easily. When Rick left to go to Golden State, of course you have to go take that job. When Mike D'Antoni left to go to New York, should never have done it. That was his wife wanting to be a part of New York City and to be on television and to be doing fashion stuff like she was doing here at Channel 3. It should never have happened. And what's happened since then? He's gone from New York, went to L.A., got fired both places. Now he's ended up in Houston. So he had to recover from it.
And I think, Brad, if I'm Steve Alford, I'm definitely going to take this Indiana
That's
job.
There's no question.
I mean, you're at the top of the... You're surfing in the Pacific, and you're on the top of the wave right now. Just, it's time to go. Like,
and your son is leaving.
A year ago, they wanted him out. He had to basically give back his bonus to save his own job.
Yes.
And you have the Mr. Ball for the next, what, 4, 6, 8 years? You have to deal with that distraction?
No. Only 2 more or 3 more, because all of his kids are one and done.
Well, that's what he thinks, but they're not.
Right.
The younger ones are not the older one.
I just don't see any way that if you're Earl Watson, that this is even a discussion point with Robert Sarver. And if you're Robert Sarver and you're going to hold a contract, there's going to be ways for him to get out of it. And to think that Earl hasn't been approached on this, or that, and here's the thing.
He said he has not been contacted.
He hasn't been contacted. I was just going to get to this. It's always, I haven't been contacted.
Right.
No, it's, let's get specific here. Have your representatives, well, they're not representatives, they're agents. Have your agents, well, they're not agents, they're lawyers. Have your lawyers, well, they're not lawyers, they're attorneys. Same deal. It always comes down to, well, let me get this off me as long as possible. Has the search firm representing you? All of these guys have these layers. And so there's always the, well, no, that hasn't happened because you're not lying, but you are. You have to. You cannot say, yes, my agent. No, it's my representative. It's the search firm that has talked to my agent or my liaison or my mentor. However you want to put this. That's just how the deal works in sports.
And I don't think Earl Watson would be a good college coach. I think he'd be an excellent college coach because he's just so relatable. And you have to get, at that age, you have to get the buy-in factor. And the buy-in factor for recruiting kids and for getting kids on campus, to me, is a lot easier than trying to get a collection of 12 individuals to buy into an MBA concept, especially when those 12 individuals are all probably making more money than the head coach, or most of them are.
So I'll agree with you to a point, but here's what I don't know. Has Earl Watson been a great X and O coach for the Phoenix Suns? I don't know this.
No, I don't think he has, but I don't think he's been bad.
Well, but here's the thing. How can you be a great X and O coach when you're told from upstairs, shut down your best guard? When you're told from upstairs, do not use this player and that player. And I'm not arguing with Ryan or Robert about that. They should have tanked 6 weeks ago, but they couldn't figure it out to save their lives. It's the usual. They have no idea what they're doing over there. Let's pull the plug on Eric Bledsoe in mid-March. Well, yeah, now the Lakers have already gotten in front of you. You guys should have done this weeks ago. So I don't know. When Earl has dealt Marquise Chris, Marquise Chris is a terrific raw, gets too many fouls, gets too many techs, skilled player. And he's very raw, but I think he's got skill to him, if that makes sense. But he's out there coaching with a group of guys that are basically a high-end AAU team because they're still teenagers. What's their average age is like 22 now.
They're super young.
They're super young, so they're going to do dumb
things. But those young players, Brad, have had moments this year. And there is that little glimpse, even though they are the third worst team in the NBA, when I watch the Suns games, it's not like, no offense to the Diamondbacks, it's not like watching July Diamondback baseball where it's so uninteresting, it's so boring, the team is so bad. At least these young kids are showing effort and there's a little bit of promise, we think.
Right. No, I agree with you on that. But the point of Earl Watson being a great college coach, I think a college coach falls into different levels. Do I think Bobby Hurley is a better X and O coach today? Yes, than when he first came here, because he's only coaching like 120 games as a head coach. No,
and
130 games.
And he cut his teeth. I mean, he didn't immediately jump into coaching UCLA. He was an assistant. He went to Buffalo, and then he's now at ASU.
Okay, so
think he was an assistant. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, but has Earl Watson done enough to show that he's going to be a great X and O coach? I don't know that.
I don't either.
I don't know that. Is Dana Altman, if you're coaching head-to-head, if you're UCLA, it's okay. We need to beat U of A. Is Sean Miller a great game coach?
Yes.
I think that he makes great adjustments.
I think he's a great coach, even though he hasn't made the Final Four. But that's just me. I know you disagree with me on that. But I think
prove it to me. He's got to get to a Final Four at some point.
But he was seconds away. I mean, he was seconds away twice against Wisconsin. I mean,
couldn't figure it out.
I know. I knew this would start a fight, but it's okay. It's fine.
What do you mean start a fight?
Well, it's
how am I starting a fight?
I think he's done a great job down there, and I think
if that's the expectation to be an Elite Eight team every year, then you're right. You're right. If he's not going to be the next Lute Olson, you're just content. It's no different than Todd Graham not being Frank Kush. It's no different. Todd Graham's never going to be Frank Kush.
No.
There's always going to be that segment of U of A fan that lives in Lute Olson.
There may not be another Frank Kush, and there may not be another Lute Olson at those schools.
But those people don't care. Look at Tracy Smith right now. Poor baseball coach over there is dealing
he's
with.
He's getting beat up.
He's getting beat up by the guys that pull their maroon socks all the way up to their knees and wear the yellow shorts all the way past their knees. He's getting beat up by those guys that, well, this isn't Jim Brock and this isn't Bobby Winkles. Guess what? It's never going to be. Now, is Earl Watson, if he goes to UCLA, is he going to walk into you're not John Wooden? Well, I don't know. There's been a bunch of guys. It wasn't Jim Herrick wasn't John Wooden, right? Steve Lavin wasn't John Wooden. Go right down the list of all the UCLA coaches that weren't John Wooden. I think Earl Watson is far enough removed that he'd be fine there. But to the point of I don't know if he's going to be a great coach. Sean does a fine job there being an Elite Eight program. That's it for Sean Miller. Until he proves different. You know, he's zero for Final Fours. Zero. Doesn't mean like Charles Barkley's not a great player because he never won a championship. It's just that's part of the resume. I want to continue this on the other side.
It's another flawed concept. I just think it's ridiculous.
Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. One of the big national topics has been that of resting players in the NBA. The last two Saturday nights, ABC, which has this huge contract, gobs of money. I believe the deal is $23 billion with a B, not M with an for million, but $23 billion of these TV partners that are paying the NBA, Turner, ABC, ESPN. So ABC is using their largest platform, Disney Company, which, by the way, is about to lay off like 100 people, 200 people, or $100 million, I think it was the number I saw recently in the trades, of talent. So they're putting their money into the NBA saying, we want to see the best product. We want to see Golden State play against Chicago. We want to see Steph Curry against Jimmy Butler because they only play once a year. Oh, wait, Steph's not playing tonight. Oh, wait, let's see, Klay Thompson not going to play tonight. Draymond's not going to play tonight. So we're in this world of analytics where you have players that are being analyzed behind the scenes. Advanced analytics, so the doctors, the team trainers, so on and so forth, can tell coaches, this player is running on fumes. This player's oxygen level is low, or gas tank level is low. They're about to run out of gas. They should not play in the game tonight. In the meantime, Mr. Cesmat and his 12-year-old have bought tickets, 6 months ago because, well, we want to see Steph Curry and we want to see Klay Thompson and we want to see Draymond Green and down the list. And then we get to the arena and we walk in there. We're so excited. And they announce the starting lineups. And no, they're not out there. And in fact, we see them sitting on the bench, but they're not even going to get into the game. And 12-year-old son says to Mr. Cesmat, Dad, I thought we were here to see Steph, man. I got the jersey on. Well, no, he's not playing tonight. Is he hurt? No, he's just needing a night to rest. Oh, you know what? I went and got front row tickets to go see Hamilton on Broadway. Is the main cast? No, it's the backups. Oh, but I paid big bucks to go see Hamilton. Star Wars is being remade. We couldn't find anybody to replace Harrison Ford or Mark Hamill or, you know, down the list. We found these nobodies that are going to be out there tonight. You see where I'm going with this? So Adam Silver's got a real problem, the commissioner of the NBA. This is a real problem. Fans are not going to be happy going to games, to watching scrubs. TV networks are not going to be happy putting on primetime programming, promoting all week. They're doing this. What's the song that they do around the ABC? Turn out the lights. Da, 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 da. Steph Curry.
Oh, yeah.
LeBron James! Mm-hmm.
Turn down for what? But yeah, close enough.
Turn down for what, LeBron James? Yeah, but LeBron's not playing.
No.
He turned you down. Steph Curry's not playing. And so if you're the NBA, how do you combat this? So Adam Silver has sent a note out, and this is funny to me. This is funny to me. He sent a note out, because let's just put it here in Phoenix. He sends a memo to the owners that you've got to make sure that your guys are playing in these big games that are on ABC. Well, that's not going to happen here in Phoenix because our team's not good. Our team has no shot of being on a Saturday night national broadcast. That's the way it goes. Maybe someday down the road, because according to Suns fans, they're this close. Yeah, right. So what can you do about this? So I read a column that David Aldridge wrote on this, sideline reporter for TNT. And I think David's a pretty smart guy. He's been around the Washington Post, been with ESPN in the past. This is a couple weeks ago. And he wrote that if you have the players that are going to sit out that night, go sit up in the concourse and sign autographs for 3 hours before the game starts. So the moment the doors open, here's Steph Curry, and he's just got to sign autographs rather than play. I'm wondering how quickly Steph Curry is going to say, oh, you know what, I think I'm going to play tonight rather than sit here and take another picture with Johnny. Or me. And you may think that I'm being condescending towards you, the fans. Most of these guys know that part of the drill is paying attention to fans. But if they've got to sit there and face a line that goes all the way down the concourse and goes out the door, rather than go strap them up and even play for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes a game, I'm thinking they're in a hurry going to say, hey, coach, I think I'll play tonight.
Just a little bit, though. I don't want to play too much.
I don't want to play too much.
Just a little burn. I want to break a sweat. I want to run up and down a few times, and then I'll happily watch the game from the best seat in the house.
3 minutes to start the game. Get me to the first media timeout.
Yep.
I'm done. Right? That's a pretty smart idea on David's part. Because you can't say they didn't play, and can you blame a coach if he plays them just a little bit? But they have to travel to every game. They can't just say, yeah, I'm staying at home. Otherwise, you know, they have those wristbands or bracelets or the iPhone where you can track where somebody is. You can't take a night off from Golden State and be in Vegas on the strip screwing around. No, you have to be with the team. Home or road, you don't want to play. Guess what? You get to go ask Kawhi Leonard for his autograph tonight. You get to go ask Russell Westbrook for his autograph tonight. Rather than seeing 3 and 4 starters being held out, I think it's pretty smart. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now for you to check out at sports360az.com, where Arizona-centric. High school, college, pro college, high school makes no difference to me. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. He did a great job today because I was all over the place. This last hour, just go back and look at it. I was all over the place today. And same with Eric. They kind of corralled me in. Thanks for being with us.